The Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus, and they told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went about in the way of the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. And he went ashore, and he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored their boat. And when they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him, and they rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy from God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's great to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Rory, congregation, for this opportunity to bring a message to Christ the King this day. Our text today really about the movement of God. In our text, it talks about people who were rooted in an understanding of the relationship with God being based on being circumcised. And that movement, even of the relationship and the movement of God, moving beyond those who saw that relationship through the experience of circumcision to even those who were not circumcised. And this movement in the gospel text is also about that movement of God through the disciples of God, the apostles of God, who move out into unknown spaces, thinking about here at Christ the King, spaces even beyond this building, beyond the immediate blocks and into the broader community. And I celebrate with you in the many ways that you exhibit that ministry, as Pastor Rory shared some of the places with racial justice and feeding programs and all those activities which tragically right now are not as active as they normally would be because of the reality of the COVID virus. I also want to acknowledge that I'm distracted by this bubble, this big screen in front of me right now. I feel like I'm driving a semi-truck and this is a windshield and I'd much rather be like out here and engaging you. So excuse me for the distraction. But our lesson today, these texts are really about the movement of God and how that movement of God is through the people of God, through the diversity of our gifts and our experiences and how we come to see one another and how we come to see God. And I think about Brittany's children's message and talking about a rest. I think a translation for rest is the ability to breathe. And the ways that we go to those places to retreat, to breathe, to quiet ourselves, to think and reflect, and to simply be. And think about how God's church, Christ the King, God's entire church across the globe is about God's breathing reality, inviting people in those places of distraction and struggle and challenge to breathe into the movement of God, to breathe into our lives, to breathe into Christ the King, to breathe into our neighborhoods, to breathe into our families, to breathe in those places where we are challenged to breathe because of so many distractions and fears and doubts, especially during a time of pandemic. And so we think about in this gospel text how Jesus has sent his disciples out into those places that were unfamiliar places to his disciples, his apostles. And so earlier in Mark's gospel, they were sent out into those places two by two. And in today's gospel lesson, they're coming back. And they're coming back with their stories. Their stories about God and the movement of God. And we can only imagine their excitement, like many of you are coming back after your experience, two by two, family by family, person by person, as how you have mediated the experience of a pandemic, as you have struggled and you have witnessed to the reality of God and the movement of God, and now you are back in God's house, breathing together the movement of God, the faith of God embedded in you here at Christ the King, and how that breath of God is carried with you back into those places where you work and where you play and where you study. So that the goal and the purpose of gathering here is to breathe into the reality of God, to share the breath of God as God's church, but it's not that it is to stay here, but that calling as exhibited in the apostles to go back out into those places where we're called to be the living breath of God, sharing the reality of God, transcending the boundaries. So a little bit about my story is my parents came from the segregated South and moved to the integrated industrial North when I was 4 years old. And when my parents moved into that area of the industrial North, it was a new beginning for them. And as they moved into that neighborhood, I had 11 siblings. And what we would do is our parents didn't have a regular church home. They would take us to church on Easter Sunday. And what we would do is we would march together, and I had this image like a mother and daddy duckling, and we'd just follow them to church. And they went to the nearest African-American Baptist church, and that was our ritual at how we continued to breathe. And my father had a rule that though we didn't go to church regularly, my parents said that, my father in particular, said that if we wanted to go to the movie on during the week, we had to go to church on Sunday. And so I didn't grow up particularly religious because my siblings and I, we said because going to church meant that that's what we did in order to get what we really wanted, which was to go to the movies, then we call that taking a dive. We went to church to get what we really wanted, which was to go to the movies. Then my parents moved to a new neighborhood, and this was in Detroit, Michigan. And I was sitting in seventh grade, and I was sitting and I was paying attention. One morning, as one of my classmates, Willie Woods, was describing how pretty the girls were in his Sunday school. Now, I was not particularly religious, but when I heard Willie describing how pretty those girls were, I felt a conversion coming on. So I invited myself to visit Willie's church, and I walked about a mile to the church of Willie's direction, and I got to this really nice neighborhood called Indian Village, and my siblings and I, we called that home Mansion when we were growing up. And just as I walked up to that door and it didn't match my picture of Willie, I opened that door and I immediately heard children singing. And I thought, well, maybe this is the place. But I couldn't see anyone. So I walked down the steps and I walked down the corridor and I couldn't see anyone. I could only hear the voice of children singing. And just as I got to the end of that hallway and rounded the corner, there stood the entire Sunday school. And the entire Sunday school was white. And as I was standing there, the only thing I could think of was, I'm going to kill Willie Woods. I thought that he'd set me up for some masterful middle school prank. And as I was standing there, and I had this tape going in my head about where you belong and where you don't belong, Somebody here knows what I'm talking about. Because that tape about where you belong and where you don't belong, it was going. And as I was trying to figure out how I would make my exit, two Sunday school teachers came over to me and they gave me some material about somebody named Martin Luther. And then they escorted me to the front of the entire Sunday school. And the Sunday school began to sing these words. There's a welcome here. There's a welcome here. There's a Christian welcome here. It's like the skies opened up. And a world and a tape that talks about separation and division and where you belong and where you don't belong became a disquieted voice. And I was able to breathe. And that's the reality of God that we're here to celebrate today. A love of God in Christ Jesus that enables us to breathe, that we're not defined by our race or our sex or sexual orientation or any other identity, but it is the reality of God, the movement of God in our lives. And that's what it means to be God's church, to breathe the breath of God, to share the breath of God. Now I'm distracted by the shield, but I'm also distracted because the congregation I served for 20 years in North Minneapolis, I get some amens. I get some response. And I know I'm in a very Lutheran church right now, but I'm distracted by that reality. And I'm challenged to breathe in spite of that difference, in spite of that reality. You know, I'm moving off of my text a little bit here. Because I know that, you know, I'm a graduate of a Lutheran high school, a Lutheran college, a Lutheran seminary. So I know what I'm talking about up here. And I noticed the difference that in some Lutheran churches, like Redeemer in North Minneapolis, it's one response. And likely the best response I'm going to get here at Christ the King is at Redeemer, I get somebody, amen. Here at Christ the King, if I'm really good, I get a hmm. Okay? And that's just our culture. But we breathe into that, celebrating our difference, celebrating the gift of God and who we are. But we're called to be together. That's what Jesus does with the disciples. He says, two by two, go out there and be with people. Be in the diversity of the world. Celebrate not just who they are, but who you are as the relationship with one another becomes a mirror. It says, God is in you and God is in me. Celebrate who we're called to be as we are the people of God. You know, there's something that I share about the church that is, I would say, our sweet spot. It's who God celebrates the church to be and how we've been working at it for more than 2,000 years. That what the church does when we gather, and it's what we're doing today, and it's one of the reasons that I'm blessed to be invited to preach here today, is that the church in our worship is the experience of welcome and safety and belonging. That anybody that walks through the doors of this sanctuary, this church, is welcome to be here. You're safe to be here, and you experience belonging here. But that's not confined to this building. That's a calling that we celebrate and we breathe together, but we're called to go back out in those places where we work and we play and we study, and we share that welcome and God's safety and God's belonging there too. And we're emboldened. We're called to share and celebrate that. God's welcome, God's safety, and God's belonging. The other thing that the church does, and it's what we experience with Brittany, the church teaches. It's called the catechesis. It's the confirmation. The church teaches. But we don't just teach like what we know up here, our cognitive understanding. It's also about how we experience and we explore. It's the way that we have a youth gathering or the ways that our children have vacation Bible school or do service projects. And we do that as well. But the church teaches. We're rooted in the catechesis and what it means to be the people of God. Experience, exploration, and cognitive understanding. And lastly, what the church does is we witness. We witness to the reality of God. And that witness is how God calls us to be disciples, co-creators with God. And so those places where we work and we play and we study, we are God's partners co-creating with God. That's what Jesus is doing in this text with the apostles. They experience welcome, safety, and belonging. They learn about what it means to be the people of God, and they go out and they experience being the people of God, co-creators with God. And this text is a wonderful example of what happens, just like you're coming back from your experience with the pandemic or of the COVID-19 or the pandemic of racism, coming back and sharing your experiences, your witness with God. And then the text, it talks about, I can only imagine their excitement as they're coming back in community, breathing together, church together, and they're sharing the excitement of their stories. That God is transcendent. That God's love does abound. That God in you and in me and the witness of God is a reality that the world hungers for. We're called to be the body of God and the people of God. And I know that you understand that because I see it in your garden. I see it in the feeding programs that you have. I hear it in the stories that Pastor Rory talks about and how you're engaged in the community, in the schools. You are the breath of God for people who are suffocating. And I can't help but think about that word breathe when I think about George Floyd, who said he can't breathe. And thinking about people in our lives and in our world who don't know that they can breathe because they don't know you. They don't know God's church. They don't know God's love. There's work for us to do. Christ the King, celebrate with you and who you are and for all the years that you've been that witness, and you will continue to be that witness. You know, a few years ago, I was listening to National Public Radio, and it was during the state fair. And the producer was interviewing a couple of people who are chefs, and they become kind of well-known chefs, and one was Latinx, and the other was Hmong, and they were talking about how diversity in food is like bubbling up in Minnesota, and so they were being interviewed at the state fair, and the interviewer asked about different foods, and they started talking. She asked about hot dish, because in Minnesota we think of hot dish, we think about Garrison Keillor. We think about our Swedish, Norwegian, Scandinavian gatherings at church. But they asked about, are there other places where hot dish is known? And the chef started talking about, yes, in the Hmong tradition, she talked about how they gathered for something called pho, P-H-O. He talked about how they build a base, like a base of well, you know what a base is, I hope. and they add to that base things like vegetables and different meats like pork and fish. And they talk about how on occasions when the family would gather, they would, pho was like hot dish, and how the family and the gathering would celebrate around pho, much like we talk about hot dish. And then the chef of Latino background talked about in the Spanish tradition, they make something called paella. They said for the holidays, the family would gather and they'd have this thing called paella where they'd gather like rice and saffron and different vegetables and meats. And the family would gather around this wonderful dish called paella, much like typically in Minnesota we talk about hot dish. And then the producer asked that, well, when you're looking for somebody who might be like a good cook in a kitchen, he said, is there something that you look for that gives you a sign that they might be a good chef? And both of the chefs said yes. They said, we look for something that's called, now I'm having trouble remembering the word, taste memory. Right? Taste memory. So I imagine that that's what the church does and embeds in each of us a taste memory for God's love, a taste memory for those who went before us and taught us how to breathe, for those who have gone on before us that taught us how to love and transcend the boundaries of race and class and culture in order that others might know God's love, in order that we might breathe together. Because it is the movement of God that calls us and inspires us to be God's church. It's our taste memory. It's our calling to be the welcoming and safe and belonging people of God. And for Christ the King to share that reality of safety and welcome and belonging into a world that is so deeply in need of God's breath. May God bless you and keep you, and may God sustain you in your ministry to celebrate the movement of God here at Christ the King and in God's world. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen.
You
I heard the voice of Jesus.
Jesus.